Rest in peace. The scripture reading for this morning is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul is speaking to the entire church of Philippi. And he has this to say in chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe that all scripture in the Bible have profound meanings. But there are some that are so powerful in the context of today's life, they just stand out, slap you in the face with a painful importance. Even though the scripture was written over 2,000 years ago, they still have relevance today. And Philippians is one of those chapters. So this morning we're going to explore what this scripture is about and what it means to all of us in our everyday lives. There is a message here for everyone. This message is so powerful, the scripture is so powerful, that I guarantee you won't doze off this morning. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. We are creatures of habit, and habits are a form of control, and control is a form of security. Sometimes it's healthy, and sometimes it's horribly unhealthy. Just ask any shrink, they'll tell you. But we need to be in charge of our lives through God's provision and His plan for us. No matter how dark the circumstances of life may be, it is always possible for the Christian to rejoice in the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access to faith and to grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but as glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character, hope. To overcome life's trials and tribulations, you have to have tenacity. For Christians, this is the ability to be persistent and stubborn in the pursuit of faith. You can't quit, give up, roll over and die just because things aren't going your way. You have to have tenacity, and you have to wear it like a shield of honor, because life is full of ups and downs. Friends, no friends. Healthy, sickly. Money, no money. Sunny or stormy. Working or welfare. Crops, no crops. Shelter, no shelter. Are you getting this? Are you understanding what God is trying to tell you right here? Pretty or plain. Trials or triumph. People love you, people hate you. Help, no help. Talent, no talent. Tenacity. Rejoice in everything, but be still and know that He is God. Rest in peace. We have a lot of choices and decisions to make every day. Decisions that affect how we think and what we feel. Decisions on how we are going to react to certain situations, how we see other people, and decisions on what our attitude and our demeanor is going to be in everything that we do and everything that we say. You can choose to have Christian joy in everything. Christian joy is a mood independent of our immediate circumstances. If it were dependent on our surroundings, then indeed it would be as uncertain as an unprotected candle on a gusty night. One moment the candle burns clear and steady, the next moment the fire leaps from the will and affords no light whatsoever, thus eliminating its very purpose. But Christian joy has no relationship to the constant changes of life, and therefore is not a victim of the passing day. The days are as changeable as the weather, but Christian joy is persistent, and therein lies the secret. Joy is rejoicing in the Lord because He gave you the opportunity and the will to make decisions. You can make these decisions with God in your heart or the devil on your back. That's your choice. And here's my take on the devil. The devil is a sneaky, low-life snake. He won't attack you head-on. He won't attack you when you're anointed, when you're in prayer, when you're in Christian fellowship. Not this devil. He lurks around like a thief in the night, and I hate that. He waits until you have trouble, when you're down and out, and especially when your back's against the wall. And then, bam, there he is. He starts to steal your Christian joy by shooting bullets of distrust, temptation, doubt at your heart. You must have spiritual tenacity to fight the devil. And where does that spiritual tenacity come from? You guessed it. It comes from God. In verse 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand." Now, Paul urges them to let their gentleness be known to all people. This has also been translated as kindness, sweet reasonableness, a willingness to give up one's own way. Try that. Give up your own way. The difficulty does not lie in the understanding what is meant here, but by obeying the precept to all people, not just to a friend or someone you know, but to all your enemies as well. Let your gentleness be known to all people. Not an easy thing to do, but that's the Christian way. And it doesn't mean that you're weak by any stretch of the imagination. On the contrary, it gives you a godly strength not often seen in today's world. Gentleness, kindness, reasonableness, and a willingness are all attributes shown by Jesus Christ. We need to let our gentleness be known to all men to show God is in us and that He is with us. And you can close your eyes, and you can therefore rest in peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Is it possible for the Christian not to be anxious in nothing? Not this Christian. I'm still working on that one, but I'm getting better at battling it. Just a couple weeks ago, I developed a dizziness that instantly caused me anxiety. My mind goes straight to symptoms of stroke and a heart attack. I think the worst immediately. That causes my anxiety to rise, my blood pressure to rise just as fast, stress goes off the chart, and my ability to focus on anything is reduced to zero. I was almost unable to finish this message because of anxiety. I fought it for several days and then finally said, enough is enough. So I called the doctor. Got in the same day, which is rare for my doctor. And when the nurse took my blood pressure, it was 145 over 90 plus. And I was diagnosed with vertigo. I had nothing to be anxious about. But you could not have convinced me of that at that moment. As soon as the doctor left the room, my blood pressure instantly went right back to normal because I had that nurse take it again. And it was right back to normal. God did answer my prayer. Despite my disbelief, that's real love. I didn't have enough faith in Him not to be anxious. I failed to put Him, trust in Him. And it is one of the hardest disciplines to learn. Trust. I'm still working on that one. I'm sure nobody here has stress, anxiety, fear, worry to overcome. I'm sure I'm the only one. But here's the beauty of it. I have a renewed sense that God really does have my back. And ever since that day, I do rest in a deeper sense of peace. The rest of the verse goes on to explain how our lives can be free from sinful fretting. Everything should be taken to the Lord in prayer. And everything means everything. There is nothing too big or too small for His loving care. Here's a few words about prayer. Prayer is both an act and an atmosphere. We come to the Lord with specific kinds and bring specific requests before Him. But it is also possible to live in an atmosphere of prayer. If we bring everything to God in prayer, we should be praying more than just at bedtime or maybe before a meal. Would you think? But do we? The word prayer in this verse signifies the overall attitude of our life, whereas supplication means a specific request. This verse can be summarized very simply this way. And remember this: anxious in nothing, prayerful in everything, and thankful for anything. Those are powerful statements. And that does not happen overnight. And that's why it's called a faith journey, for that very reason. And in the last verse, verse 7, it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is a sense of profound comfort, which floods the soul of the believer when he is leaning hard on God. This peace surpasses all understanding. Most people of the world cannot understand or even comprehend the depth of this kind of peace. Even devout Christians possessing it find a wonderful element of mystery about it. They are surprised at their own lack of anxiety, fear, and worry in the face of tragedy and very difficult circumstances. Peace protects the faithful heart. Profound peace for the Christian is a sense of security in Christ. What a needed tonic in these days of neuroses, nervous breakdowns, drug and alcohol abuse, economic failures, worldwide conflicts, and political chaos. Do not let your heart be troubled. God is in control. Rest in peace. Now that we have a better understanding of the scriptures, let's take just a few minutes this morning and apply them to our real life. Because if you don't put scripture to use in your real life, it's worthless to you. Let's talk about this church. We have been so caught up in numbers and costs, worried about people leaving and the doors closing, and I understand that, and I get that. But the only thing that we really need to keep in this church is faith. Faith in God that He will provide the fruit to sustain this church as He has for over 175 years. Faith is the answer. Faith in our pastor, faith in our leadership, faith in our congregation, faith in our community, faith in ourselves as Christians. Yes, we have to take care of the business, but not in human terms, but in heavenly devotion. We have a God that loves us and wants to take care of us if we believe in Him with all our heart. We are not in control of this church or our souls. God is. The harvest will come, so rest in peace. In my opinion, I have a lot of them. The political landscape in this country is at an all-time low, and I rarely enter into political arenas for discussion. But we are at a dangerous crossroads in politics in this country and around the world. It is hard to separate fact, faith, and fiction when it comes to politicians. However, God has already ordained the next president, and voting is only a formality. Our country was founded on godly values, but I wonder how long God will look on this country with favor. God works all things out for the good of His kingdom. And maybe, just maybe, the United States is not part of that anymore. I hope that's not true. The Bible tells us to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and that means that you pay your taxes, you vote, and you live within the law. But you are powerless when it comes to the things that is in God's domain. So give the worry about politics up. Give it up, because God is in control. So rest in peace. I believe, and so do a lot of other religious folk, that we are about to see a return to God movement, a revival, if you will, in this country. But you wouldn't know it by looking at the big picture of the situation in this world today. Jim spoke very well on this last week, revival. And I agree that we are right now just glowing embers. But in the past several months, I've seen some very encouraging signs all around me. Signs that give me hope and peace when I rest at night. Little things, like movies. Hollywood and other big movie makers are coming out with a lot of very good, inspiring, and accurate Christian-themed movies. More so than in the last 30 years, and the trend doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. Country music seems to have much more religious content and tone in a lot of its new releases. And believe me, if it doesn't sell, music producers will not record it. So the good news is there are more people, especially young people up through seniors, who like country music and are getting a little bit of the word along with it. It seems that there are just more people standing up for their faith and the right to exercise that faith, especially on TV if you look for it. Commercials on faith, churches advertising, and faith-based programming is on the rise. There is more talk about faith and faith values and God in the free store, in church work, on movie night, with friends because they know what you're about. And rather than talk about the social conventions of the day, we're talking a little bit more about God and faith in this church, in prayer groups, during fellowship, and in Bible studies all around town. Helen and I were in the grocery store 2 weeks ago, and a magazine on the rack caught my eye, National Geographic. Now you have to understand why it caught my eye, because I collect those little yellow covered magazines. But the front cover had a picture of Jesus during the crucifixion. And the caption in large print said, "The story of Jesus. Journey through the Holy Land, experience the origins of Christianity, discover archaeological findings." I had to look twice. For sure, that article was going to slam or question the authenticity of Jesus and the cross. But on the contrary, it backed up the crucifixion of Christ with facts, scripture, and archaeological findings. It was very well done. And if you would like to read that article, I would be more than glad to share that National Geographic with you. It's an awesome this month's issue. And the very following week, Helen brought me a copy of Life magazine. And in it are articles on all the miracles that Jesus performed. I thought at first it was about the movie, until I started to read it. And the real miracle was the fact that they wrote the article in this magazine at all. These are worldwide printed magazines, read by millions and millions. Is that an accident? If you'd like to read that, you can have my copy. Those are just a few of the reasons why I believe revival is coming. And by the way, just as a reminder, we're going to show the movie Miracle, which was the number two movie of last month that was put out. It's a Christian movie, and it is unbelievably powerful true story. We're going to show that in June in the parking lot on a large screen, and we're going to do it outside so that the entire community can enjoy this movie. To wrap this up this morning, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Stop worrying about the things before their time has come. Accept the limitations of living one day at a time. When something comes to your attention, ask God whether or not it is part of today's agenda. Pray on that. If it isn't, release it into God's care and go about your daily duties. Don't worry. When you follow this practice, there is a beautiful simplicity about your life, a time for everything and everything in its time. A life lived close to Christ is not complicated or cluttered when your focus is on His presence. Many things that once troubled you will lose their power over you. Though the world around you is messy, ugly, and confusing, remember that Jesus came to overcome the world. God told you these things, that in Him you may have peace. Our Lord God is taking care of you. Trust in Him all the time, in all circumstances, and in everything. Trust Him with all of your heart. When you are weary and everything seems to be going wrong, you can still utter these four words, "I trust you, Jesus." By doing so, you release matters into His control, and you can fall back into security of God's ever-loving arms. Before you rise from your bed in the morning, He has already arranged the events of the day. Every day provides many opportunities for us to learn his ways and grow deeper in him. Signs of his presence brighten even the dullest day when your eyes are really on him. Eyes that search for him as you would search for a treasure, and he is the treasure. He will be found. He can be found. He is here. God is here. He is in control. So you can rest in peace. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, what an awesome God you are. Taking on all of the burdens of pain and our salvation. Father, we turn our lives over to you. Let us every day help us to lean on you, to give you all the praise that you deserve for all that you have done for us. Take away our anxiousness, our fears, our worries, and especially, Father, take our doubts. Strengthen us. Watch over us as we go out into this world of decisions and choices. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the ushers come?